Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now. Well, hello there, Dr. Anna Blake. Where's my postcard? Brains, you at home? On the Edge with April Mahoney and Dr. Anna Blake in Canada. Look at that. She got to go ahead, put it up, girl. Yeah, because, you know, we're going to have the picture. We are going to get the picture, all of that later, okay? Brains, we're laughing right now, but we're going to talk about a real serious subject. Do you ever consider that your doctor is burnt out? Have you ever walked in there and just, you know, you see him come in with this very, you know, serious face and white coat and, you know, pocket protector and all that. But what's behind that? They're individuals too. They have family. They have drama. They have financial problems. They've got kids. And they got access to drugs. Oh, yes. So we're going to talk about all of that, plus the high rate of suicide of doctors, and also the bullying in the nursing profession, which I think is absolutely appalling, because I love a nurse. So we are going to talk to Dr. Anna Blake, because that is her specialty. She is a physician, a family physician. But in addition to that, she is now also a coach for female physicians that are really kind of going through it. She's going to share with us a little bit about her experience and the drama that she's experienced and postpartum. But look at her. You'd never know it. She's the mama of two and just as pretty as she can be. So help me welcome her to the edge, Dr. Anna Blake. Hi, baby.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, April.
Welcome on the edge. You should have heard us in the green room. Boy, we were cracking up. We was talking with dirty mouths.
Yes.
But life is good. Life is good. And again, I want to, even before we get started, I want to thank you from the bottom of my socks, because my heart is not deep enough for the sacrifice and the dedication that you give to others to save their lives, to put yourself with this COVID at, you know, arm's length of disease. To go home and deal with your family and wake up and do it again. So I really want to thank you, because you could have been a hostess at a restaurant. You didn't have to be a physician. So I thank you for that.
You forgot to tell me to bring my tissues.
Oh, girl, please. Right. So tell my brains a little bit about you and how you show up in the world.
Yes. So I'm a late 30s.
Oh my God.
Rural family physician. I'm Canadian, so sometimes people hear my supposed Canadian accent, which to me sounds pretty normal, but I drop an A every now and then. So, you know, right. I'll probably all give right. myself away at some point. But I've been doing rural family medicine now for, I think I'm going on my 7th year, and, along the way, I went through an episode of burnout, and I had my first baby, and all of a sudden, what for me previously was a world where I was kind of getting by, everything kind of came unglued and just all crumbled and fell apart. And so that's how I wound up coming to the world of coaching, because I didn't know how to solve the problem I was in, and I was pretty desperate, which, you know, I can share more about later. But essentially, it brought me, I came to coaching as somebody who was looking for coaching as a way to help me cope with the situation and make medicine a sustainable option for me, because I was so desperate that I was thinking about leaving. And essentially, through getting help with coaching and enjoying it so much, I decided that I wanted to be part of bringing coaching to the world of medicine. And this is where I am now, doing both life as a doctor and life as a physician coach.
Okay, so what's the difference between coaching and counseling?
Okay, that's an awesome question. So the way I conceptualize this in really broad terms is counseling built on treating brains that have some kind of disorder. Okay, so there's mental illness involved in some way, and counseling helps us solve the problems of disordered thinking. Coaching is at least the kind of coaching that I do in particular. There's lots of different types of coaching out there, but I do what's called causal coaching. And so I'm looking to get to the root cause of what's happening for my clients. And it really is looking at the limitations of the normal functioning of the human brain. So we're not looking at pathology here. We're looking at the normal cognitive traps and things we kind of stumble on and get caught up in. And so it can be an adjunct, and it was certainly an adjunct for me when I was struggling with mental health problems at the same time, but it's not a solo replacement for anything to sort of treat a mental health disorder.
Okay. So with the coaching, you've got, you're able to really kind of be a little bit more personal, you know, because a psychiatrist is like, you check in. Yes, brains, I've checked in before. I love it. But I was smarter than the psychologist. Oops. But, you know, this is a little bit more hand-holding, a little more coddling, a little bit more personal. You know, your psychiatrist or therapist or whatever, they kind of draw a fine line, you know, when that bell rings. But this is a little bit more day-to-day, functional, you know, relatable type of deal, maybe not the prescription, when you're dealing with someone in a coaching capacity. Would you agree?
For sure. And, you know, I think sometimes that it blurs the lines a little bit with mentorship as well, which again is a bit more of an informal component. But what I really love about coaching for physicians is so many physicians do not feel safe in the mental health systems that exist because there's a lot of fear about admitting we're struggling and that having implications, right? I mean, the average physician who is struggling, the vast majority of physicians, I'll even say, who are struggling, are not at all incapable of practicing medicine. But there's a huge fear of, if you admit that you're struggling, is someone going to report you to your regulatory body? Are you going to have, you know, some kind of restrictions? Are you going to need to do reporting? Are things going to happen where, or is your information going to get leaked to somebody who shouldn't have access to your personal healthcare record? So I think there's this general mistrust in the medical community that it's not safe for us to be both the doctor and the patient when it comes to some of these struggles that we see in burnout physicians.
I find that in the military too. When they're upper rank, they don't want to identify. But you know what? When you go cuckoo crazy there and you fall all out and start screaming and hollering and have an episode, you're going to wish you had told somebody. See, there's no shame associated with this. This is what we have to get over, the stigma. If they broke their arm, they would come into work in a sling. If they had a cold sore on their lip, they would come with some ointment on it. So this is just a different type of wound that needs to be healed. And if you are in treatment, or if you're working with a coach or whatever, at least it is documented that you're aware of your situation and you're trying to rectify it. Brains, okay? There's no shame in the game. So now, you decided to work specifically with women. Mm-hmm. Why?
A couple of things. So one is, I have a strong interest in women's health overall as a physician. I used to do obstetrical care, and I think being a mom, I think there was some draw to women physicians. But the other piece of this is what I have uniquely observed to be struggles that particularly pertain to women physicians. So what I think happens uniquely for women that creates a situation where we have higher rates of burnout, we have higher risk of suicide than male physicians.